The Rambam is coming to explain the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, where the Mishnah says everyone has a portion in the world to come except for people who don't accept certain basic things in Judaism. And so we have a discussion, a person who says there's no Torah from Shemaim, a person who says there's no Tchiyat HaMitim, so there's no resurrection of the dead. So based off of that, the Rambam and the Talmud over here, the Rambam works out that there are fundamental points within our Torah that every Jew should accept, and then the Rambam lists them. So we'll quickly go through them. Someone, I don't know who, wrote an outline that they printed in the Siddur. I don't know who it was and what basis he had for wording it the way he did, but we'll quickly go through the fundamental points. Now, we can go through an outline of what Rav Ibn Tibbon wrote, his translation of the Rambam, or Rav Kapach, because they're a little bit different.
Rav Kapach's translation kosher.
I don't know. So the first one is... Here's a very important difference between the Rambam and Rav Kapach and Rav Ibn Tibbon. Rav Ibn Tibbon says leha'amin, which we would translate to believe probably, mitziut ha'borei itbarach. And Rav Kapach omits that word. Now, that Rav Kapach very often writes, he added this word. This is a word that doesn't exist in the original manuscript when Rav Ibn Tibbon wrote it. Now, until we reach the generation of Rav Kapach, we don't really have anyone that had manuscripts that could check Rav Ibn Tibbon, because the rabbis didn't really have, they didn't have the manuscripts, they didn't have a knowledge of Arabic, many of the rabbis. And that's why it's a little bit challenging to know what to do here. So Rav Ibn Tibbon adds this word. I don't know if he adds or he translates. He says, Le'amin.
The difference was that the Talmud in common,
they had manuscripts. He has actual manuscripts. If you look at the first page of his Zoraim, he has manuscripts of the Rambam. He shows
because
his Rambam's handwriting,
sometimes
I guess.
Arabic that he brings, you can actually decipher it yourself. You know, it sounds like Hebrew.
Okay. We continue. That there is a potent being that is whole in every way, and he is the cause of everything that exists in the world. And he gives continued existence to all of them. So he included a few concepts here. The existence of a creator. The creator created is whole. He created everything that exists and continues to give it existence. So even though he calls it one fundamental point, you know, that's a lot of points in that point. Yes?
If he doesn't say la'amin, what does he say instead?
Ha'yisod ha'rishon mitzi'ut ha'borei
itbarach. Just that it exists. You
yeah.
You don't have to know or not.
Well, he doesn't say, is it to know or to, whether it's to know or to believe, right? That's a huge difference. You know, Rav Ibn Tibbon, it says la'amin, and Rav Kapach, he doesn't have that word. Does he mean to believe, to know, to work out philosophically? I don't know. So one of the tricky things, yeah.
With regards to the first one, so some things in there, some acronyms say that it's impossible to understand, as in the fact that Hashem is one. It is impossible to understand. The Rambam himself says it, no? So how can the first one be...
Oh, so that's what I was about to say, that... The Rambam says a lot of details and explanations, and what we have to delineate, which is very hard, which is where it's tricky, is which component here is integral and which part is an explanation. I'm saying that's going to be tricky here. You follow what I'm saying? Some of it might be, it's integral to the explanation, but it's not integral to the belief. It could be you have to accept Hashem is one. Hashem created the world. Now the Rambam goes on to explain. He is whole. Is that part of the first principle or foundation, whatever we'll call it? And that all creatures were created by him, that's also a part. And he wasn't by them. And he would be existent even if they weren't. But they wouldn't be existent without his existence. And that all stems from Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So then the question is, okay, how much of that is critical? We know it says in Rishonim, and then it's quoted in Achronim, that any time you think this, you did a mitzvah. Great. How much of this do I have to think in order to have performed the mitzvah? Hashem is one. Did I do a mitzvah? And if I didn't think that He created everything that exists, and if I didn't think that He is whole, and if I didn't think that everything that exists needs Him, but He doesn't need anything that exists, did I do a mitzvah? So that's what's tricky here. Okay, second foundation. Yes, so we're moving on. First one is Anochi Hashem Lokecha, created everything. He is whole, doesn't need anything for his being, and everything requires his being consistently. Right? Point number two, that God is singular. Okay? And again, here, the Rav Ibn Tibbon, the first one is he created. But it doesn't say he's alone.
He's one.
He's the creator. We didn't discuss him being one. There is a creator. That's the first principle. The second one is that he is singular. Again, Rav Ibn Tibbon adds the words, Kilomar Shena'amin. I don't know if he's adding or if Kapach's detracting, but Rav Ibn Tibbon in the second principle again tells us the word Na'amin, to believe.
La'amin is easier than Linda.
Well, I don't know what the word La'amin is. I translated it to believe only for lack of a better word, but I don't know what the word La'amin means because both the Rambam and the Ramban in other places write La'amin v'Leida in the same sentence.
Yeah. Sometimes La'amin means to affirm.
Right. Sometimes La'amin means to affirm. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And I'm with you, yeah.
I know sometimes it just means accepting as it
is. I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I know in modern Hebrew it does. I don't know in Rishonim whether L'Hamin means what we say L'Hamin means today, to believe. I don't know. I don't have a proof this way or that way. In Achronim they discuss it that way. In Rishonim, I don't know. They use the word L'Hamin. I don't know of a source in Rishonim that defines the word L'Hamin. And so I don't know. In Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes Leda. Sheyesh Bore. Right, about the one, I don't remember. We have to look it up.
Because he himself says it's impossible to understand.
Say that the question is, to what degree is it impossible? To what degree do I have to know? To what degree is it impossible? I don't know.
In Tanya, and I think in Nefeshachayim as well, they say it's... In Tanya, he says it's not even shaykh to say that it's Rav Bar Saga. Because then you would be saying it's something very, very complicated, and you understand. It's not something which is
okay.
Hard to talk about like that.
Yeah. Okay, so the second fundamental, the second principle is that he, yichud, he is singular, and that is that he is the cause of everything, and he is not like one of a type, and not like a singular individual, that you know, you have many individuals, and not like anything physical that's singular, that you could count them, like that's number one, he's only one, but Hashem is singular in a singularity that is not like any other, and that's the second principle, and that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, HaPasuk in our Parsha. We would have to discuss a little bit what the word Shema Yisrael means. Who are we talking to? Who's the Torah talking to? It's Moshe talking to Am Yisrael. And when he says Shema, is he telling them listen, obey, or understand, or accept? The word Shema could mean any one of those. What's he saying?
What was the second one?
Obey. Or all of them, okay? It's not my question, it's Tanaim's question. Machlokas Tanaim. It's the way the Rashba explains the Machlokas Tanaim. But okay. Again? Why? I don't remember. What does the Targum say in Shema?
Shema.
Is it Shema? Okay, so we have to see. No. No. I think the Targum has different translations in different places. Lo yadu ki shomea Yosef. So Rashi in Bereishis says that the Targum in his translation is answering which one it is. And then I think Shema would be to hear. To hear. I think so. I think Rashi in Bereishis says that. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Should we continue?
You're listening, but you're not hearing me. Someone ever said that?
Yeah.
Mirei Michel Makom. Michel Makom is
here.
Okay. Should we move on or? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, third principle, that he is not physical. And again, Rav Ibn Tibbon says, V'zeh shena'amin. Again, he has the word na'amin. Again, I don't know who's adding or detracting. that this singular one that we just mentioned is not corporeal, nor is it a force within physical bodies, and he does not, he's not affected the way physical bodies are affected, meaning he doesn't move, he doesn't rest, he doesn't stay, he's not status, he's not fluid, not in his essence, not in coincidence. And that's why our sages say that when we speak of him, we don't speak about God being divided, so to speak. We say that in heaven there's no such thing as standing or sitting. There's no front, there's no back. It's not like Hashem, ah, I saw the front, I saw the back. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, right? Hashem says to Moshe, Ritzat Zachorai. So Chazal right away say, Achorai over there doesn't mean you'll see the backside, right? There's no connection, there's no tiredness. So all of these terms, that's what the Navi says. Velmite damyuni veshve yomar kadosh. God says, who could you compare me to? That's the idea. You have nothing in the physical world that compares to Hashem. So that's the third principle. And that's where we say the idea, Dibrat Torah kirshom bnei adam. Even though the Torah does use physical terms, it's not to be taken literally. So that's the third principle. And that's the pasuk again in our parsha, Ki lo ri'item kol tmuna, where Moshe says, you didn't see any physical picture. So that's the third principle. Notice how the first three are in our parsha, right? That's what I said, that we're going to see the principles all in our parsha. Yes?
So I guess you might have answered the question. I was going to say that law that God is invisible, you can see that from the Torah itself, or is it only...
Well, it's a machlokas Rishonim. You know, that's what other Rishonim were upset at the Rambam, because he made other opinions in Tapi Korsin. There were Rishonim who said that Hashem does have a physical body.
Okay.
Boom.
Said this?
Yes.
So, should we wait for the question answer to answer that?
What?
Should we wait for the question answers to figure out how that works?
Isn't it impossible for God to have a physical body? It's not impossible.
Well, the Kabbalists discuss this concept, Olam Katan, Olam Gadol, and we see that even in the Haggadah, we see a representation of this Kabbalistic concept, that Etzba, Kamalakuba Etzba. If the Torah says Etzba Elokim, so that should teach me something. Why? So you'll say that's part of Dibrat Torah Kirshom Bnei Adam, maybe. Charon Apo. So we say there is such a thing called Charon Af. But Hashem doesn't have a nostril to flare. What does that mean? Hein al kapayim chakotich. So the Gemara goes into kapayim means something I always see. Chomotayich negdi tamid. But then you have other places where they say, yeah, there is kapayim. What is kapayim? So the simple understanding is, okay, it's all metaphoric. Okay, I'm just saying, it's not... To say that Hashem has a body doesn't have to mean that Hashem is like, oh, he looks like me. But you know, the pasuk says, "B'tzelem Elokim bara oto." So we like to say "Tzelem Elokim" is something spiritual. But the simple reading of "B'tzelem Elokim" is that in some way I am a reflection. How am I reflecting? You say my soul is a reflection. That's not what's described in the pasuk. So you could say, right, this is an addition. But the pasuk describes taking mud and forming a "Vaypach Papam Nishmat Chaim." Okay, so that's the "B'tzelem Elokim." So we say that is, and that's what the Nefesh HaChaim goes out to prove. The question is, what is Tzelem? You have a description of the formation of mud into man. And you have a description that B'Tzelem Elokim Asauto, man is created in God's form. So is that referring to the physical man? Is that referring to the spiritual? So the Nefesh HaChaim has a whole piece explaining why B'Tzelem is not a physical counterpart. It's not looking in the mirror. It's not taking a picture. That's to say there. But the question is, do I have to learn that way? Is that the obvious way to learn the pasuk? I'm just saying, the concept to say, we're so accustomed to the Maimonides thought, which has become the accepted thought, that we think if anyone else says something else, it seems far out. Yet if you look at the Torah, it's not so obvious.
Right, that's my question. It's very non-obvious from the Torah, because it uses it all the time.
Right?
But I mean, a dead body is also a B'Tzelem Elokim.
But there's a big difference.
Let's say, wait. The Navi describes, Levushei Kitlag Chevar, his garment, he wears a talis that's like white snow. And the hair on his head is like white snow. like white wool. So the pasuk describes it. Hashem ish milchama. Again, it's so. I'm not saying one's more pashut than the other.
But is there a place in Torah where it describes a physical manifestation or a anthropomorphized manifestation of Hashem using the yud kei vav kei?
Hashem ish milchama. Yud kei vav kei ish milchama. No. מי זה בא מאדום, חמוץ בגדים מבוצרה, זה הדוב בתבושו, צועה ברוב כוחו. אני, we just learned in Yeshaya 2 or 3 months ago. מדוע אדום לבושך, בגדיך כדורך בגד, פורה דרכתי ודיו, מאמים אני שיטי. My clothes are dirty, who's dirty? Ah, it's a malach. Okay, so we like saying that, I'm just saying, before you guys go all out with your Maimonides approach and look at it and say, hey, why are they saying that? Pasha Pshat is not Rambam. Tradition might be Rambam. But you look at Tanakh, well, it's hard for me to come between giants and say, yeah, tradition is Rambam. But there were people before Rambam, big people, who didn't say like the Rambam.
Are you talking about Rashi?
No, not Rashi, but if you remind me, I'll bring you the names. I don't remember.
So, okay, we discussed what exactly they mean. If it's not that, so they mean that there's a physical...
Is it like all the cartoons that just like a picture of God up in the clouds?
Yeah, it's a long
like
beard and a big sword.
The way you made it sound was actually not that. You made it sound right. Like when they believed that God had a body, that God had a body. Like
right.
A, what's the difference? So then what's the
what?
Difference? Like they're both saying that God.
That's a good question. Is there
a
big difference?
Jesus, like he's like a Russian
blood. Right. Correct.
The shape of a human being.
Correct.
Or is it like we're like cells? We're like cells in like a larger body.
Right. Not that. Very good. To create a world, then he can't have a hand like my hand. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have a hand. You have to understand that in Kabbalistic thought, this is a constant theme. The idea that there's a Olam Gadon, Olam Katan, and man's small body is a representation of a much larger world.
When you say like Kabbalistic concepts, is that so much more different than traditional concepts? Is that not the same thing?
Well, the Rambam keeps saying this has nothing to do with anything. This is like... There's no real... It's all just borrowed terms for us to understand. The question is, are the other Rishonim... The Rambam certainly understood that he's arguing on the other Rishonim. Meaning the Rambam, and so did the later Rishonim. So that means that the earlier Rishonim, before the Rambam, there was an opinion that said that in some way there is a representation of the human... that we, or let's put differently... Our body, our form, is a representation of something godly. In the form, not just in the spirit, in our soul.
That's the only time it talks about it, except some Elohim, so in other ways as well, because you brought other
things. Right.
Okay.
But they come next. You see, we're working the other way. We look at ourselves and we say, that's funny, God has a nose. No, it's the other way around. In heaven, there's some representation of the body. God gave us a representation of whatever in heaven represents our body. And to us, in the physical world, we function this way. You guys following me? No. Let's stop for a second. Let's go back. Let's imagine pre-creation. let's imagine for 1 second. God in some way affects the world. And for whatever reason, when God affects the world, he does it with what's called the hand. Okay? And that hand can do things in a general way where it affects a whole 500 galaxies at a time, or in a specific way where it affects a small area like a country or a continent at a time. And that's in God terminology called hand versus finger. So then God creates man where he has hand versus finger. So we look at it and say, oh, God has a hand like me. No, God created me with a hand like him. The idea that I can function in on different levels of, what do you call it in therapy? There's movements that are more crass and more fine. There's fine motor skill and gross motor skills, right? So I have limbs that I have gross motor skills and fine motor skills, which represent a more general a hashpa'a that God has and a more limited hashpa'a.
That belief sounds kosher.
What?
That belief sounds completely kosher.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like saying that God has a hand shaped like this, made out of the planets or the solar
whatever,
system.
Okay, but the difference becomes... Okay, 1 second, yes.
So, if Hashem is infinite, then whatever Hashem is like, yeah, his form is, it wouldn't necessarily have a physical form as we would understand the physical form.
That's a very good question. How did those Rishonim understand it?
But are they talking about on a different level? Are they talking about on a level that we can relate to or that Hashem relates to in terms of creating and forming or affecting this universe? But because